We're looking at Governor Evers' forthcoming budget proposal to expand women's health services and infant care. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's called the Healthy Women, Healthy Babies Proposal. The nearly $28 million proposal is expected to be part of the governor's budget that comes out Thursday. And we're taking a closer look at what this plan would address. Women, what is your biggest health need here in Wisconsin? Do you have access to the type of medical professional that you need? And what health disparities for women do you want solved? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sarah Finger is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health. That's an advocacy and policy organization. Sarah, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Lisa Payton Kerr is founder and president of the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness, and she served on Governor Tony Evers' Health Policy Advisory Council, which had a role in developing this proposal. Lisa, welcome to you.
Thank you. So happy to be here this morning.
So, Lisa, I want to start with you. When you look broadly at the state of women and family health here in Wisconsin, where do you see gaps?
Well, most obviously, and from the lens of the work that the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness does, is our history of disparity in African-American health, particularly as it relates to Black women and infant mortality. That's an issue and a struggle that we've dealt with as a state for more than 30 years since we've been measuring data, and it has been persistent with the exception of a small period of time where, at least in Dane County, those rates dropped and have accelerated again, and that really is the reflection of what is happening across our state, and particularly in certain zip codes. And so it gave me much excitement to see a governor who entered office acknowledging disparity, you know, from the onset, and acknowledging where we are and prioritizing addressing health disparities, infant mortality, and women's health from day one.
Sarah, where do you see Wisconsin able to improve? Where do you want to see healthier moms and healthier babies? What can be done to, close some of these gaps?
I just have to echo Lisa and just also say how excited I am to be here today. This is so incredibly refreshing. Over the last 8 years, we haven't seen this kind of leadership and initiative and raising women's health and infant mortality and birth outcomes to this level. So I see an incredible opportunity to increase access to preventative life-saving services to women across the state, to no longer politicize and marginalize women's health policy like it has been over the last 8 years. So I'm just incredibly excited at this very comprehensive approach that takes on the life course model and really looks at preconception through postpartum and ensures that there's generations of healthy women in the state.
And so when you say life course model, what do you mean by that?
The idea that healthy moms lead to healthy babies, the idea that if we can help equip and empower younger women before they conceive to be their healthiest, you're going to see healthier birth outcomes. And if we see healthier birth outcomes, we see healthier starts to life, and then again that cycle continues. And so there's a lot to be done to ensure that all women in Wisconsin are able to achieve their optimal health, safety, and economic security. And this initiative and the governor's budget will go a long way in helping that.
Lisa, let's go back to infant mortality for a moment. With this particular proposal creating an infant mortality prevention program, what is the scope of this program and what do you see as the potential impact here?
I think we will wait for the governor's larger proposal to know the full scope. But what's wonderful about that is those positions have never existed before, which is very interesting given the gravity of the issue. Coming in and recognizing the urgency of allocating resources and people to an issue that is so deep and so grave is very important. Those three positions will be specifically charged with helping communities around the state, starting with those in the highest need zip codes, as I said earlier, to really concentrate efforts, to really look at model programs. We're very fortunate in our state to already have some things going well. One of the things is the home visiting program. Another, Sarah mentioned the Life Course Initiative. Through the Wisconsin Partnership Program grant, there has been a Life Course Initiative project in our state I don't know if it's 5 years old, 7 years old, and they're about to renew their grant, I believe, which has done some demonstration projects in different counties, I believe, Milwaukee, Beloit, Racine. I may be incorrect on one or two of those cities, but it's three places that have piloted projects that address mothers, fathers, communities, breastfeeding, early education, family support around preparing for pregnancy for the whole family. And I think we will see models like that replicated and supported by this office with the adequate resources to allow them to take root.
We're looking at the governor's budget initiative aimed at improving women's health and infant care. And we have Sarah Finger, executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, and Lisa Payton Kerr, the founder and president of the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness. Your thoughts on this proposal and women's health in Wisconsin at 800-642-1234. What health disparities for women do you want to see solved? What are they and how do you fix them? You can join in by phone at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sarah, another facet of Governor Evers' funding proposal includes expanding postpartum coverage under Medicaid, and it's a big piece of funding in this plan, almost $23 million. Under the plan, DHS would seek a waiver to extend coverage for women on the Children's Health Insurance Program to a year. Can you tell us about that?
I think we have yet to really meet the full promise of programs like CHIP and Medicaid. We have incredible opportunities to submit these waivers that allow more federal funds to come into Wisconsin and invest in communities and populations like women and that really critical time for that mom and that baby 1 year postpartum. It's an incredible step in the right direction. I really hope that we see the bipartisan nature of this, that extending health care coverage for these moms at such a critical time when they're caregivers and they are recovering themselves, and establishing that really healthy start to life is going to be absolutely critical. So that and then fully expanding Medicaid is going to be absolutely critical to women's health in Wisconsin.
So right now, the current insurance period is 60 days.
Correct.
And the move is to try to make this a year.
One full year. Correct.
And you could see that would make a major impact.
You know, it's not just the 60 days. There's okay. So much. Lisa and I are both moms and know how difficult pregnancy can be and postpartum can be, especially when you have other children at home and you have a newborn. That time period is absolutely so critical. And then really establishing the next steps in the next few years, you as a mom and as a caregiver, helping to plan and space your next pregnancies if you're going to have them, making sure that you have adequate access to breastfeeding support, mental health support, physical health support. I think it's a win-win for everybody to expand up to 1 year postpartum.
And this budget, Lisa, would add more than $618,000 spent over the course of the budget to fund doula training and services. Explain, first of all, what a doula is and why it's important.
Well, a doula is a birth worker who really supports a woman throughout the duration of the pregnancy, before, during, after, and in that critical postpartum period. Doulas are present during the birth to really support the mother, the partner, the family, and to be that second presence of really helping the mother make choices, understand her birth options, understand how to ask questions, really focusing on her care, her well-being, the well-being of the baby, and following the family's needs and desires in the birthing process. And you know, what's so interesting about doulas to me is they're not new. Doulas have been a part of the African-American tradition and other indigenous traditions. Every culture has had women as birth workers. And this is really a returning to the roots of a role that has really been crucial historically in supporting mothers in birth. And to see this taking root in Wisconsin with so much national attention on the critical role of doulas is wonderful. It was very important to us as the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness to ensure that that piece was really illuminated in our proposals. We have wonderful and growing doula communities. Here in Dane County, we have the Harambe Village Doulas. In Milwaukee, we have Maroon Calabash and others. And there are more sprouting. So we're very excited to know that resources will be allocated to training more, and most importantly, to finding a payment model, a payment solution to cover their services, which has been a challenge.
Lisa, what are the challenges there for funding doulas? And insurance can get really tricky with having a doula at birth and how they get paid.
You want me to take that?
I'm sorry. I'm looking right at you.
No problem. I think that we have undervalued the role. There is so much great evidence right now showing how the role of doulas are really helping to pave the way for better birth outcomes. It's undeniable right now, but we have not put the systems in place to make it possible to sustain a profession of being a doula, especially in these marginalized communities. And so the idea for this governor to recognize that there can be individuals inside the Department of Health Services and grant programs that can help not only sustain but grow these doula programs, especially doulas of color in our state. We haven't quite gotten the recipe right in other states. New York, other states have put reimbursement models in, but it's still not adequate. And so I really look forward to Wisconsin paving the way to getting the recipe right and fully supporting the role as doulas.
I could add to that, to state for public clarity, doulas are trained professionals. I'm happy that you asked what is a doula. They are trained professionals who have the qualifications to be present within the birthing process. And so that's very important for folks to know.
We're looking at the governor's budget initiative aimed at improving women's health and infant care. Sarah Finger is executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health. And Lisa Payton Kerr is founder and president of the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness. Gathering your thoughts on women's health care here in Wisconsin at 800-642-1234. Where do you see this proposal meeting your needs or perhaps falling short for your community? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation in a moment on the Ideas Network. Governor Tony Evers rolled out another budget initiative last week. We're talking about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. He said he'll include about $28 million for a range of women's health care issues when he delivers his budget address Thursday. And here he is unveiling the plan last week at a news conference at Milwaukee Health Services.
This isn't a Republican or Democratic issue. It's a kid issue. It's a Wisconsin issue. It's around our values.
Women, what is your biggest health issue? Do you drive a long distance to see your physician? Do you or someone you know have Medicaid, or did you have it post-delivery? And what was your postpartum experience like? We're at 800-642-1234. Sarah Finger is executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health, and Lisa Payton Kerr is here. She's founder and president of the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness. Let's go to the phones now with Dr. Paula Cody joining us from Madison. Hi there, Dr. Cody.
Hi there. How are you?
Well, doing well. What are you hearing in this conversation?
Well, I'm very happy that Sarah and Lisa are on the phone. Hi, girls. One thing that I want to add is I think that when we talk about the life course of sexual and reproductive health, we also have to include sexual health education in the schools and making sure that we're including medically accurate, comprehensive sex ed.
So, Sarah, what about sex ed in the schools, and how might this proposal impact that, if at all?
Hi, Dr. Cody. Thank you for calling in. We have really examined this particular $28 million proposal, and it's a really great step, and it's really concerted on addressing healthy moms and healthy babies. But as Dr. Cody points out, there's a lot of other policy opportunities we have in the state to improve the health, safety, and economic security of women and families and young girls. And so I completely agree. We had repealed a bill called the Healthy Youth Act in our state in 2011, and we should really revisit that and ensure that all public health or human growth and development being taught in our public schools is based on evidence, it's medically accurate, and it's age appropriate. So Dr. Cody, who is a pediatric adolescent health specialist, is absolutely right.
Sarah, how does the health of women affect a community's health overall?
I thought hard about this question. I get this all the time. Why women's health? And we're 51% of the population, and we have our own unique healthcare needs. But I think what's most importantly is that we as women make 80% of healthcare decisions for our families and our loved ones. We are the primary caregivers a lot of the time. And I do think that when women's health suffers, it extends beyond just ourselves. It's like the air mask on the airplane, right? The oxygen mask. We need to make sure that we take care of ourselves first so that we can take care of others. And so the idea of investing in women is truly about investing in our communities, our workplaces, our families, our community.
Lisa, where do you see women's health impacting the local community and really spreading out from one woman's health?
You know, women are such the backbone, as Sarah said, of so many communities. All women, that's just a vitally critical role that we play in the health of women across our state. Though we have a state that is committed to health, we have some of the greatest, most highly ranked health systems in the country and in the world. But this persistent issue of disparity or inadequate coverage for the smorgasbord of women's health needs that really need to be met is really crucial to Black women, to white women, to Native women, to Latinx women, migrant women. Lots of different things hinge on making health services available, accessible, affordable to all women. Because, yes, we are 51% of the population, and we typically anchor our families. We raise the children. We have careers. We're contributing in multiple ways to our communities, to our state every day. And if we're not healthy, half of our state is unhealthy. Where that becomes really critical for women of color is in Wisconsin. We really endure the greatest burden of a wealth gap, disproportionate poverty impacting Black women and children. And a significant number of women, Black women, are single, female-headed breadwinners, which is a dynamic that necessitates that those particular women have every tool at their disposal to be healthy, because their life and their family really hinges on their well-being. And for all women, despite family composition, particularly Black women, we know that education and income do not ensure great health outcomes for us. Black women with a college degree or a high school degree are equally as likely to give birth to a baby too soon, too small, and more likely to give birth to a baby too soon and too small than a white mother with less than a high school diploma. And so the urgency of looking at women's health broadly and looking at the unique needs of different populations of women is really crucial. And this proposal helps us to get there and meet everybody's needs.
Sarah, another part of this involves the Well Woman Program. Can you explain what that is?
So the Well Woman Program has been around for a while now and has really been put into place to help low-income women get access to life-saving cancer screenings, detection, and treatment. It had been a very robust program with presence in all 72 counties. Under the last administration, there was a move to greatly diminish the size of the program. And so from 72 coordinators across the country in every county down to 14 regional coordinators. Over the last few years, those coordinators have been working closely with us to let us know that with also the lack of providers, they've decreased the amount of providers across the state. There are many counties that don't have a provider to help screen and detect and treat women for cancer. And so there's been incredible frustration at that remodeling of that program in 2015. And we hope this governor will reexamine the scope of the Well Woman program and restore it to its full potential.
So under this proposal, how might it change, or don't we exactly know yet?
Well, I know the governor is looking at getting increased funding. I think the funding is critical, but I more so important, I think that the structure of the program and ensuring that women don't have to drive more than an hour to get to a provider, to ensure that these coordinating agencies are fully supported and there's more of them to help meet the needs so that women are not falling through the gaps and are missing this incredible opportunity to be diagnosed and treated early for cancer.
Lisa from Milwaukee called in to ask if better access to health care could decrease instances of child abuse or other poor outcomes, especially since it sounds like there would be better access to mental health care under this proposal. Would we see any ability to, have better outcomes in our families?
I think better health care and more accessible health care helps in the whole, you know, we look at health as well-being. And if folks have the ability to access care early when they need it, when they most need it, that, of course, translates into healthier mothers, healthier fathers, healthier children. Systems that are in place that can provide early supports to families before they're in crisis, before they've reached the tipping point. And that's good for everyone.
Sarah, your organization puts on this health summit each year, and your next one is coming up in a few weeks. What are the issues you expect people to discuss when it comes to women's health?
So our 10th annual Women's Health Advocacy Summit is on March 12th in Madison, and it's just one of those days that we are able to meet the moment every single year we plan it. This year, we'll really, our theme is raising women's voices, and we'll be highlighting the voices of women who normally don't get the mic, who normally don't get a chance to tell their story, how they overcame different challenges to be effective advocates for change. A big part of the day will be focused on addressing the governor's budget, addressing positive, proactive policy visions that we have, like paid medical leave in the state and full Medicaid expansion. And we'll be really there to inform, involve, and inspire people in the audience to be advocates for their own health and well-being and advocates for health of Wisconsin.
And Lisa, as we start to wrap up here, in the coming days, what are you watching for when it comes to this proposal and what the governor may be rolling out when it comes to women's health and infant care?
You know, what I really honestly am looking for is a state and a legislature that embraces this policy proposal. We really are past time of talking about disparities and talking about supporting women's health, and we need the action, the full force of action, agreement, and alignment in saying as a state that Wisconsin is one committed to women's health, every woman, and that Wisconsin is not comfortable with disparity, that we no longer want to be the capital of disparity for particular populations, and that we'll roll up our sleeves together as a community to make that happen.
Well, Lisa, thank you for joining us. Lisa Payton Kerr is founder and president of the Foundation for Black Women's Health. And Sarah, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Sarah Finger is executive director of the Wisconsin Alliance for Women's Health. We've been talking about Governor Evers' proposal called Healthy Women, Healthy Babies, expected to be part of his budget rollout on Thursday. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.